This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Amazon recently announced plans to set up a new headquarters in North America, and they've launched an open call for metropolitan areas to throw their name in the hat. Company says it would hire 50,000 employees and invest more than $5 billion in the chosen city. And thus starts a frenzy of courtship offers from cities looking to attract the e-commerce giant. Tucson, for instance, mailed the company a 21-foot cactus. I assume that was free shipping. And here in North Carolina, Governor Roy Cooper boldly asserts that this state is, quote, the best place for Amazon's second headquarters. I don't know if he writes his own stuff or not. WUNC data reporter Jason DeBruin has been following the story. Jason, hello.
It's free shipping only if they have Prime, so we don't have that nailed down yet.
All right, let's talk about a couple things. So what did I say? 50,000 jobs, yeah. $5 billion, what else? And sort of what does that mean? That's not $50 billion all at once.
It's huge. I mean, it's huge. Just consider that in the Raleigh MSA, which basically carries some of Wake County, we have 620,000 jobs, according to the latest estimates. Add 50,000 to that. I mean, that is a massive, massive, massive addition were it to come to Raleigh. So, you know, obviously, cities like Raleigh have perked up at this.
Wait, and did we know? I mean, let's take a look at what's happened in Seattle, for instance. I mean, you say 50,000 jobs, and a lot of them would, I guess, come from other employers. I mean, does that mean 50,000 new people would move to whatever metropolitan area that?
I mean, of course. I mean, we have people that are graduating high school and graduating colleges and looking for work. But yeah, I mean, let's say you or I ended up going to work for Amazon. Well, presumably WUNC would want to fill those positions behind us. So, and look, it's not like this is going to happen in the first 3 months, of course. I mean, this is something that would be a very long lead time where the investments happen over, you know, a decade, even two decades before they ramp up to that 50,000 number. But I mean, at the end of the day, this is... I mean, I don't know that in the history of the United States, frankly, there's been a hit like this come all at one time.
All right. And $5 billion in investment over some period of time.
Exactly. Again, you're looking at, you know, a decade, maybe even two.
All right. So what are they looking for?
Looking for a lot of things. They said basically they want a metro of at least 1 million people. They want to have a highly skilled workforce. One, obviously, that's good. You know, with IT, we have that. A workforce that is growing. Again, we checked that box. High standard of living, we have that. So, you know, there's a lot of areas where we, frankly, we meaning Raleigh, the Raleigh-Durham MSA, where we look really good.
And what about Charlotte? Another very big city.
Also, yeah, also looks very good. Yeah. Also growing, highly skilled workforce. What's interesting, you might have seen the New York Times Upshot article that sort of picked the best place for Amazon to go. They picked Denver, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But they eliminated Charlotte because... the quality of life there isn't as great as some other places. That has a lot to do with the cost of housing. The housing prices there are going up quite steeply and have been now for a couple of years. So trying to find affordable housing there is a little bit more difficult there in a place like Raleigh.
But mass transit also important and not where the Piedmont and Raleigh area.
That's right. That's going to be the one that probably trips us up the most is that they've been very clear about wanting to sort of, you know, reduce their carbon footprint, et cetera, and getting 50,000 people to maybe not one campus only, but, you know, generally speaking, moving an additional 50,000 people around in a city to get to and from work is a big addition. Now, in fairness, Raleigh, I know if people drive on 40, if they're on 40 right now, they're going to argue that we do have bad traffic. All things considered, our traffic isn't that terrible.
Well, you add 50,000 people.
You add 50,000 people and, you know, all the other people that are coming here every day, the 75 or so. But to get back to mass transit, our mass transit is just simply not good. I mean, yes, we have bus lines, and yes, it's going to improve. Wake County particularly, we just passed a bond in the last election to, you know, to spend $1 billion on transportation infrastructure. Yes, there's maybe going to be a light rail line that connects Durham and Chapel Hill at some point in the near future. Who knows when that's going to happen? But if you look at cities like Charlotte that has the light rail and is expanding it, other cities, you know, Dallas, obviously, D.C., some other places that have, you know, the infrastructure already in place to move a lot of people around, the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area falls woefully short on mass transit.
But here's the interesting thing, and I don't know how corporations like Amazon might think, but those other big cities, Boston, famously, a great public transportation system, right? But it's a hugely congested place already. And if you're Amazon, are you looking for a place perhaps where, okay, maybe that part of the infrastructure isn't there. That could be part of our investment, part of our deal. We'll kickstart if you are serious about putting in light rail, you want to kick in a few bucks, we'll do it too. Because we can spread out in the Triangle. We can spread out in the Charlotte metro area. You can't do that so well in Boston or Washington, D.C. even.
Yeah, you know, that's not a bad point. But then you sort of think this through. Amazon is going to be looking for tax incentives. And right. if they're looking for tax incentives, that means that they're looking to invest as little of their own money as possible, right. or at least to get a lot of return. All things being equal, would you rather go to a place where you have to invest an additional, whatever it is, $2 billion or whatever their part would be to add a light rail, or would you rather go to a city where you don't have to? Now, you mentioned Boston. One thing that I think holds Boston back is that just they don't have enough space.
Yeah.
One thing that we have is a lot of land and a lot of space. So they could definitely build a sprawling campus, you know, pick any number of places in the Triangle that they could go. I mean, even out in Chatham, there's that big park that's going down there that is, you know, acres and acres of land. Right. That's just, you know, that's pie in the sky. I don't know. But where we have a big advantage is that we do have a lot of land for them to go to.
And then you have to consider North Carolina's politics, which has been a real drag on development in the last couple of years.
It has recently. I know that the General Electric headquarters deal, they were moving from Connecticut, you know, a year ago, and they ended up whittling it down to two places, us being Raleigh and Boston. They ended up choosing Boston. There was some speculation that the HB2 bill played a role in that. Of course, GE denied that. They deflected that. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, HB2 is behind us now.
No, HB2, voter ID, all of these things add up. And you know, we get public, national attention for these things, and it's not always good.
That's true. And particularly if you look at what's happening at the UNC system currently, we're getting some bad press nationally for that as well. So these are absolutely factors that not to be minimized, absolutely. But you know, they aren't the only things either.
Yeah, a lot of other big factors that they have to look at. Hey, I want to switch gears and talk about another story you've been working on, because over the past few years, significant shift in economic models for hospitals, ACA, one of the things it was supposed to do, in addition to covering millions of Americans and giving them health care, was bring down cost. We've had some time now with ACA, and you've taken a look at one of the particular indicators, which is repeat visits to hospitals. If you can reduce that number, you'll theoretically bring down cost. How's it going?
Going quite well, actually. These are the readmission penalties that you're referring to. In short, there's a number of metrics that the ACA looks at, one of them being if you're discharged from a hospital and then are readmitted to any hospital, not just that hospital, but readmitted to any hospital in too short of a time after that discharge, the first hospital is dinged with a penalty. Now, the reason for this is that nobody likes being in a hospital. Right. If you can stay healthy and never go in a hospital in the first place, everybody would be, you know, much better off. Now, of course, accidents are going to happen. We need hospitals. But the point being, if you're discharged from a hospital, you should then be sort of stepped down to in-home care, you know, in a primary care network, even with a bunch of specialists, you know, what have you. But in a setting where the care is tailored more towards, you know, keeping you healthy as opposed to just treating you when you're sick. Hospitals before the ACA, you know, through the 90s and the 2000s, had sort of gotten in this rut of, we've heard it a million times now, but the fee-for-service model. You perform a service, you charge a fee. When the patient leaves your door, you wave goodbye to them, and if they come back, great, you get to charge another fee. Now everything is a good bit more integrated, and that's in part because of these readmission penalties, where hospitals now have to be smarter, and whenever they discharge you, have to actually know where you're going. Are you able to get your medication? Are you able to get transportation to see your primary care provider? Do you have in-home health? I mean, there are a whole number of things now where the hospitals are paying attention to your health outside of their walls.
Because they don't want to see you back, so they've put all these things in place, and what effect has it had?
Well, it's honestly had a positive effect. It was one of those things where when this first happened, hospitals wanted to complain about it because they are receiving a penalty, and it's not insignificant. Depending on your readmission rates, you could see a penalty of up to 3% of your Medicare spend. I'll remind you, Medicare spends $600 billion plus a year, so 3% of that is pretty significant. Right. Now, the penalties that were incurred in hospitals in the Triangle range from, well, zero. WakeMed, Raleigh, I'll give them a little bit of credit. They had a zero penalty this year, but range from, you know, sort of 0.2, 0.3% up to about 1.5%. So, you know, it's not overly burdensome, but you are talking tens, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars that you're missing out on every year. So they are starting to pay attention. They have policies in place where they identify you if you're a high-risk patient. Let's say you have, you know, a lot of comorbidities, or let's say you're poor, or let's say you don't have a good family support network. If they identify some of these risk factors when you're in the hospital, then when you're discharged, they have nurse care managers who contact you afterwards. Maybe you, I mean, literally, maybe you don't have transportation, and so it's very difficult for you to go from your home to the pharmacy to simply pick up your medication. So now there's groups in place, Community Care of North Carolina, for example, that will drive you or even drive for you to go pick up your medication and deliver it.
So ACA provides these incentives to change the way you're doing business. Has it lowered readmissions and has it reduced costs?
It has definitely lowered readmissions. I mean, that you can say without a doubt. Now, has it lowered costs? That gets a little bit more difficult to tease out because there's many things that are happening. Now, what we can definitely say is that that cost curve has been bent. The overall cost of healthcare continues to rise. It's rising not as steeply as you know, because of the ACA and other things. Now, is that because more people are insured? Yes. Is that because of readmission penalties? Yes. Is that because of a number of other things? Yes. I mean, so it's hard to tease out exactly the effect that readmission penalties have had on overall costs. But I think it's fair to say that it has had a positive effect in at least bending that cost curve.
And it has reduced those number of quick readmissions.
That's
which
right.
We have to assume ultimately over a long period of time is going to reduce.
One would think, yes.
Jason DeBruin, WNC data reporter. You can find links to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks very much.
Just ahead, a Civil War mystery and an engineer who may have cracked it. You'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.